As you remember, last week we finished getting our faith to work. And as you know, getting our faith to work requires love. You know, in fact, Galatians 5 tells us that our faith works by love. How about that? Our faith works by love. And very reasonable for believers to want to know how to make their faith work. Isn't that right? Very reasonable. How do I get my faith to work? How do I get this situation to change? How do I get that to adjust? How can I get my prayers answered? Most Christians ask that fairly regularly. What more do I need to do to get my faith to work? One thing is for sure is that we need to know that love needs to be present when we are releasing our faith through prayer. And we saw that, if you remember rightly, last week, the last scripture that we looked at. And again, it was in Mark 11:25, last scripture last week, which is a nice little segue into what we're going to be talking about, I believe, in a new series. All right. So Mark 11:25 says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Makes good sense. How can you hold unforgiveness toward others and, of course, expect God to answer your prayers? So it goes on to say that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So, you know, the point that we need to make here is that our faith is hindered by a lack of walking in love. Very true. Walking in love is forgiving, letting go of offences, not being the bitter person, but choosing to be the what? Better person. So I'm not bitter, I'm better. And again, that's a way of life, isn't it? I go down to this conference during the week, and I'm glad we've had 10 weeks of teaching on love. down to this conference, it's a different kind of conference. It's not like the typical conference. It's not the well-oiled machine that it usually is. And so I had an appointment to go to, and usually I get some benefits from being one of the church pastors. And so what they'll do is they'll get me a little parking bay that's really close to the sort of near the door. Side benefits, I'll take that any day, thank you very much. What I noticed was that there was no communication about that this year, so there was nothing. And I thought, oh well, maybe it's there or whatever, but anyway, I thought, well, I'll just park close by anyway. So I went to go and do a car park, and there was a Bible college student standing there saying, I'm sorry, but this is a reserved area. I said, oh, okay, so where is the parking? He says, well, what they've got is they've got an empty block about 2 kilometres up the road there, and you just go down there, it's just off the road there, and you can just park in there, and there's a bus that's taking people back and forth. And I kind of looked at the car park, and it was about 1:45, the start of the timing of the meeting, and I thought, well, actually, there's not really many people here. Do you think I'd be able to just slip in? And he went, no. It was one of those funny moments. He went, no. And I said, well, I tell you what, I am one of the Victory Life pastors, you know, and so and he's just sitting there, he's just looking at me, he's going, I'm sorry, but we can't make any exceptions to the rule, you know. So I'm thinking I might get some, and I said, look, I've actually got an appointment to go to, and I really need to be able to leave early, get into my car and go. And he's just going, I'm sorry, but I can't let you park here. So I see someone that I know that's just over on the other side of the car park. And so I go, well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll turn around and I'll see. And sure enough, I go up to the one of the other pastors that I know. And I say, look, I'm trying to get a car park in here or somewhere close by. Can you help me out? He tried to ring the guy that would have gone, yep, no worries, just park here. But he wasn't available on the phone. So I went, I'm not going to run the gauntlet with this Bible college student that's just doing his job. But I'm thinking to myself the whole time, I'm so glad we just did 10 weeks of walking in love. So anyway, I come back out onto the street again and I go, look, I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, if you don't let me park here, I probably won't stay for the meeting. And he goes, look, I'm terribly sorry if you have to go. He wasn't letting off me off the hook or anything. So anyway, I just decided that I'd try and find a sneaky little car park up around the road or up around, you know, the area somewhere. You know, I couldn't find one. So guess what I did? I drove 2 kilometres down the road, caught the bus in, and when I got there, I noticed that the car park was still empty. And I'm sort of, and guess who's standing on the door greeting as I walk in? same guy. And I went up to him, I said, God bless you. Thank you for doing your job. I really appreciate that you've done your job sort of thing. But I just knew that I'd have to come straight out of the meeting earlier. But, you know, walking in love is so important. What if something had happened in that meeting that required my faith to be right out there? You know, standing and believing with God, and here I am not walking in love. You know, that rotten Bible college student sitting out there, you know, could have let me park anywhere sort of thing. So, you know, it's so important that we are well informed on how to walk in love. And, you know, we've been on it for weeks now, and I know, and we're still, you know, and if you're still struggling with your love walk, I encourage you, go back over the podcasts. Go back over those ones over the last week. You can get them from the church website. You know, the His Love series goes all the way back to July, and I encourage you, write the scriptures down, listen to the podcasts, open your Bible, mark them up, write them out, meditate on them, and of course, you know, until the truth of the word is something that you're doing rather than just hearing. Amen? Because we've got to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen? Particularly when it comes to our walking in love. So anyway, the author of Hebrews starts the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews with a great description of what faith is. And I want us to look at that this morning. It says there, in verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like the Weymouth translation, and actually goes into another area. It says there, now faith is the well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope, and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. So again, you know, if we have faith, we have assurance. Isn't that right? If we have faith, if we have that inner faith going on, we have an assurance about the outcome of something. Having faith for what you're believing for is like having the title deed. It's yours. In other words, you own it. It's already yours. And our faith frames our reality. And of course, you've got to now examine your own faith regarding your reality. And of course, you know, our faith will frame our reality. Now, I can give a testimony of how I remember seeing my mother's faith at work. I guess I would have been, at that time, 11 years old. My brother, who I shared about earlier on, was 13 years old, and my sister was 15 years old. And we were having the worst day of our lives. That was the best way to describe that day. And we were having a very bad day. It was a Saturday, and the night before, my father had decided and told us by sitting us together and just telling us that he wanted to leave us as a family and wanted to be with another woman and her family. And that was the news that we got the night before. Earlier that next morning on the Saturday, we dropped him off at the bus station as a family and saw him off. You know, it's a pretty horrible sort of scenario, isn't it? But we came home all miserable, of course, and, you know, resolved ourselves to the fact that Dad, you know, wanted to be elsewhere and that we were going to let him go. And you know, I remember Mum, you know, she was crying most of the morning, but, you know, trying to be strong and push through. But we're all quite downcast. But, you know, this is usually in circumstances where the devil's lies are at their worst, aren't they? They're at their worst. When all the scenarios that are painted by him come before you. And it's at this time that we need to see that our joy needs to be revived. Something needs to change. Something, you know, we need to do something differently. And this is critical to understand, because if the devil can steal your joy, he can what? Steal your stuff. He can steal your goods and, you know, take away. You know, we all have things to work through, walk through, to step out. But our joy is something that we can't do without. We've got to go back to the place of joy. We've got to get back to that place where we're excited and thrilled at the fact that God's in our life and that nothing is impossible with God, and get our joy back. Don't let your joy go. Remember, God's protection on Daniel's faith, you know, didn't keep him out of the fiery furnace. God was with him in the fiery furnace. didn't keep him out of the fiery furnace. Sometimes we think that our faith will keep us out of the fiery furnace. No, no. Our faith will mean that God's with us in the fiery furnace. Amen? You remember that one. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And so important. Don't agree with the enemy. Micah 7, verse 7 and verse 8. I'll read it to you. It says there, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And my God will hear me." How's he going to hear me? Because we're putting voice to what we believe. We're putting words to our faith. We're saying what we believe. We're calling things that are not as if they were. In other words, we're taking a different approach. Look what it says in verse 8. "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Our Lord's going to come and be with us in those hard places. You know, don't be wondering where he is, because I tell you, he's there right with you. And don't let your joy run away. And I saw this in my mum that particular day. She pulled us all together over lunch, and we determined that we were going to get through this. And she took, you know, a step of faith, I believe, you know, a future action. She did something that was future orientated, that was positive, that was good, and we can all do this together. And she took it and she led us in it. She knew that she needed to act out a future expectation. And it's a statement of faith. Well, we lived in a little 3x1 in Morley. And of course, my brother and I were sharing a bedroom. We'd known nothing different. So it was just, his bed was on that side of the room, my bed was on that side of the room, and that's all there was to it. So after lunch, we went out and we paced the dimensions and drove pegs into the ground for a new bedroom. So that was my mum's future action, you know, her positive step toward the future. She pegged it out, and my brother, who's always quite the gardener, he comes out with the spade and starts cutting those buffalo lawn blocks out and starts pulling those and putting them up on the side, and we sort of dig the foundation with the pegs, and he said, "That's where the spare bedroom's going to go." Let me tell you, that got us all sort of a little bit, you know, well, we're doing something, you know, something exciting's happening, you know, something new. And it didn't matter that the family were down to one potential income earner. And it didn't matter that mum didn't have a job. All those things didn't matter. We were doing something toward the future. My mum was framing our future by faith. And I liked it. And so often we take a step of faith toward your preferred future. When you do, breakthrough occurs. You know, because it's a step, because it's something that you're doing out of a picture of your preferred future. And don't let that opportunity pass you by being downcast and downtrodden and feeling, you know, or allowing yourself to get depressed in those moments. Rise up and do something future orientated. God loves to see our faith expressed. Our faith pleases him. What it says there in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder." Say rewarder. "He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So very important. Sometimes God is just waiting for us to get up out of our misery. Take a step of faith. And it's best when we have a promise of God that we can pull ourselves up with. It's even better when we've heard from the Lord. We've got that sense of direction from him where he's spoken into our lives and given us a word of promise to stand on. Well, let me tell you something. Mum was not finished that weekend. She also decided that Dad wasn't leaving that weekend. If you'd known my mum, you know, she was a feisty woman. You know, she's very feisty. And so she began to determine that he needed to come home. And that he was coming home that weekend. And so by Sunday afternoon, she was ready to fight. And she bundled us all into the family car. And we took a two-hour drive to where Dad was and the situation that he was in, the house that he thought he was moving into that day, and where he'd gone. And, of course, with the help of some supportive relatives, we all went in. All of us walked in, knocked on the door, were asked in, and of course confronted my father and of course his new family. And we stood there and said, no, that's our father. And he's coming home with us. And my mum, well, I tell you what, she had us all in chorus, you know, yeah. You know, you're coming home with us, you know. And I mean, how can a father resist that? I tell you, he couldn't. So he dutifully walked down the pathway with us, got back in the car, and we drove home. A very, very short standoff. He called off that relationship. And he never left us again. Never left us again. I like it. Hebrews 11, verse 1, and again we'll read the verse 1, but 2 and 3. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, you know, speaking the word, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You know, if God framed the world with words, it should be no surprise to us that God calls his sons and daughters to speak his word in a creative way, to be speaking out what he says. To frame our word with his words is what we're talking about. His promises for our lives. Faith-filled words, not fear-filled words, is what he's calling us to. And if the enemy can get us saying fear-filled words, something not based on the promises of God, not aligned to God's word and, of course, his purposes, our words in this new covenant relationship are not what they should be. So our words in this new covenant relationship are powerful. Powerful in God. We need to know and understand that. I like Proverbs 18, verse 20. It says this, a man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. For from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Now there's one for all the business people. Words affect our provision. We need to be speaking increase over our financial and material circumstances and believe in God for his hand of blessing. The next verse, very important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit of it. You know, we love it for what it should, you know, for life. We should be speaking life out over our circumstances, speaking what God's saying. Words affect our health and our physical well-being as well. When Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil, every one of the devil's assertions were based on the word of God. How about that? Every one of them. See, he was the tempter and a liar. And trying again to alter the purpose of God, trying again to do what he was able to do in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And of course, deceive them. Getting mankind to question the reality of God's word was his purpose. And of course, ultimately to go into open rebellion with him. So very important. Notice here in the Gospel of Luke, in the last point of temptation, chapter 4, verse 9 to 13, it says, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. It's very important. Until an opportune time. You know when the opportune time is? When you really don't want it. When you really don't want that lie from the enemy. Him trying to establish your future. Trying to paint a picture of where this is going. That's his opportune time, but not yours. And what do? You do what Jesus did. You do exactly what Jesus did. You answer with the word. Speak the word, and speak the word only, you know. And know what the word of God says in your situation. Jesus had been tempted when he was at his weakest. He just finished fasting and praying for 40 days in the wilderness. He was tempted in his weakness. And the enemy continues to try and discourage when we're at those low points. And we all have them. I mean, have you had a low point? What about this week? Yep. Good. We all go through them, but it's what we do in the midst of them. We rise up and begin to speak the word and say the word only. You know, sometimes I have to remind myself, what is it that the enemy wants? What he wants is to have you rebel with him. That's what it is. He's the ultimate rebel. He rebelled against the God of creation, the God of the universe. He rebelled against him and now wants rebellion here on earth. And of course, God's bringing about something else, and we're with him on that. We're on the side of the angels. And, all he's got is lies and suggestions of his design. And of course, he knows the word of God too, so should we. We should know what the word says and able to speak the word back. And of course, the right and the authority to speak the word is ours to use. You know, it's a spiritual authority, but we do need to rise up in it and actually speak the word of God with authority. We do need to open our mouths and say what God is saying in every situation. I like Mark 11, and I said we finished on Mark 11, so it's only appropriate today that we should do the same. Look what it says. It says, now the next day, when they, Mark 11, verse 12, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to him, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So again, they continued on. And of course, it says, if we read on, we've got to understand, Jesus was a demonstration of a man of God filled with the Spirit, living in communion with God. Jesus demonstrated a lifestyle for us that we also can live. Yeah, you say, yes, he was the Son of God. Absolutely. But aren't we sons and daughters of God? Amen. So there's some aspects of living in according to the life that we're called to live in this side of heaven that many Christians aren't just haven't actually tapped into that. And this is some of what Jesus was saying here, and very important. Verse 20, it says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So you've got to be careful with your words. Just on a more lighter note, we recently were blessed with a aquarium, and of all the fish that are in there, you know, you see them. I walk past them and see these goldfish in there. Rosemary sees one that's I guess the best way to describe it. It wasn't her favourite. It was not her favourite goldfish. And I think she uttered some words alongside, I don't really like that one very much. Next day, guess what's floating at the top of the aquarium? I said, honey, you've got to watch your gun, you know. You don't pull that gun out, you know. It's kind of loaded, you know. And so, just on a lighter note there, as I say, and we've got another story with a fig tree out the back where she spoke to this fig tree because it had never flowered the whole time or never brought any fruit the whole time we're in our current residence. And there it was, and you know, each year we'd go, it's no fruit. So Rosemary went up to him and said, if you do not bring any fruit to get, that's it, I'm going to pull you up by the roots. Guess what, next season it had figs. I don't know, Rose seems to sort of have that ability to sort of speak to things, but you better be careful. She needs to have safety lock on, you know. But as it goes on to say, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, will be done, he will have whatever he, what? Says. Therefore I say to you, again applies it now to prayer, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. So again, faith becomes an essential part of our lifestyle, not just in our praying, but also in our saying, believing that what we're saying shall come to pass. Amen. Very, very important part of our lifestyle. And our words and how we then back that up with our words and what we're believing, again, critical part of the lifestyle that we're called to. It's a lifestyle of overcoming the natural scheme of things. And of course, Jesus encouraged that in this with his own disciples. And the activity of commanding our circumstances through faith in prayer is a level of Christian capacity that many believers are yet to experience. But once you get a taste for it, once you get a handle on it and start working it, it becomes something that you wouldn't step away from if you could. You know, we need to see the power of heaven will back us as long as we're not moved away by the confession of our faith and moved away from speaking what he says, and of course steadfast in believing no matter what. No matter what. Steadfast in believing no matter what. And as Jesus said, therefore I say, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. Live that way. Pray that way. You know, let's not be out there wishing and hoping. Let's be out there with the word of God in our mouths and faith in our hearts. Amen. I want to close on that point. And, you know, I just want to encourage anyone this morning that's saying, today I want to really step up and start living differently. And I want to invite you to come on down as we close in prayer today. I want to start living differently. I want to start living by the word in my heart and in my mouth. I want to start speaking God's word. I want the Lord to help me in that today. I'd love to pray for you around that area today, if that's you.